Welcome to the latest edition of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, September 13. This week, my colleague Ariana Pelosi spoke with Quita Highsmith, Vice President, Chief Diversity Officer for Genentech, and Dr. Monica Baskin, a Professor of Preventive Medicine and Associate Director for Community Outreach and Engagement for the O'Neill Comprehensive Cancer Center in Birmingham, Alabama. The conversation focused on the Advancing Inclusive Research Site Alliance, which is a coalition of clinical research sites partnering with Genentech to really advance representation of diverse patient populations in oncology clinical trials. You know, it's commonly understood that results from clinical trials without diverse patient cohorts are rarely generalizable to the entire population, and this initiative really works to educate and inform the clinicians and researchers to ultimately make clinical trials more accessible and eliminate these disparities. I really think you'll enjoy this conversation, so take a listen.
So my first question is for Quita. Can you explain what the Advancing Inclusive Research Site Alliance will do and how they will achieve creating an inclusive environment for clinical trials?
You know, one of the things that we believe is important is the ability to reach the community, to really be able to engage patients with where they are located. So the Advancing Inclusive Research Site Alliance is a coalition of clinical research sites that are working with Genentech to increase representation of underrepresented groups in oncology clinical trials. Right. And so we selected these sites, these first four sites, based on their ability to do, you know, our early research through post-marketing, as well as their proven ability to be able to recruit and retain communities of color. And so we believe that this alliance is the first of its kind, and it'll serve as a platform for innovation, enrollment, outreach, tactics, for us to really be able to reach underrepresented patients so we can move the needle regarding health equity in this industry.
All right, thank you. So my next question is for Dr. Baskin. How is the O'Neill Comprehensive Cancer Center currently helping to improve access to cancer treatment in the community setting?
Yes, so I'm really excited to say that we have been focusing on eliminating cancer disparities from almost the very beginning that we started with our cancer center. So we have a couple of different approaches that I think are really helpful to increasing diversity in oncology clinical trials. So first is our community health advisor model. And this is a model in which we've been using for two decades now, where we identify and train local individuals in their communities to educate around cancer prevention and treatment and link individuals in the community to care. The other model that we've been using is one is a patient navigation. So we have navigators that are available for patients to walk them through their entire process to identify what barriers they may have to being enrolling in clinical trials and then being retained in those trials. And I think those two things in particular have been very helpful for us to be successful in having a diverse group of individuals enrolling in our trials.
Great, thank you. So this is for Quita. Do you anticipate growing the program to other centers? And is there a way for patients in the community to benefit from this new program?
Absolutely. Because, you know, four sites ain't going to change the world. But what we do know is we're going to get those learnings from the sites, just like UAB, O'Neill. Like, we're going to learn from that. And we're going to be able to give that information over to our other sites in other programs. While this is focused on oncology on this first round, we're looking to expand into other disease areas as well. We're also looking to expand the site alliance. The first four are our pioneer group, and we're very excited that we're focusing on oncology because we know that it's critical. So often communities of color are diagnosed later in the life cycle or don't have the opportunity to participate in clinical research. And so this is an opportunity to broaden the focus of who gets access to clinical work. And we believe that working within the Alliance infrastructure that we're going to be able to co-create. We're going to be able to collaborate with community. We're going to be able to build information sharing and focus on, you know, patient education, cultural competency, which is very important, listening to what patients are telling us in the community. And so we're excited about the future opportunities that this is going to bring for patients.
Great. So that leads into my next question. So between 5 to 15% of clinical trial participants are non-Caucasian. What is one way you think the program will go about increasing outreach for these diverse patient populations? Is there anything smaller centers and clinicians in the community setting can take away from this advice?
Well, the first thing that I want to convey is, one, we have to stop blaming the patients of color for not participating and come up with some real solutions to address people's concerns, which is why we selected these four sites. So we selected O'Neill, UAB in Alabama. We know there's a large African-American population. We selected City of Hope in LA. We know that there's both African-American and Hispanic. We selected Mays in San Antonio, a large Hispanic. We selected a West Cancer Center in Memphis, a large African-American community oncology center, because we have to go to where the patients are so many times. One of the reasons why clinical research has been predominantly white is because it's in the institutions that are predominantly white. So it's hard to get some patients of color if they're not going to those institutions. So we've selected institutions based off their expertise, based off their track record in reaching patients of color, specifically African-American and Latino patients, so that we can move the needle, because you have to go to where the patients are. It's critical, because historically underrepresented groups have not had access. And so we're looking to change that with our recruitment strategy and prioritizing locations that do good work that reach patients of color.
Great, thank you. So Dr. Baskin, what is O'Neill currently doing as part of the Advancing Inclusive Site Alliance to help give racial or ethnic minorities access to treatment?
Yeah, so I love the response from Quita before. So I think at the patient level, what we're trying to do is revamp the way in which patients can get access to trials. So we're in the process of revising our website so that that's clearer to patients so they can come directly. But we are also at the same time reaching out to some of our smaller cancer centers and affiliates, as well as local oncologists, to make sure that they know that we are here to partner and to help them to be able to better educate their patients and how they can connect with our clinical trials that we have here as well. So I think it's a combination of those things. And the last thing I think we're doing, which is really heightened by our participation in the Alliance, is to go and educate the clinicians and the researchers as well. So I think the idea that individuals of color are not coming to trials because of hesitancy is only one possible explanation. I think another one is that there may be underlying issues and biases in the clinical research team where those individuals are not approached. So we are developing and working through educational materials so that the oncologists and research team will start to offer to everyone the opportunity to be on a clinical trial.
Let me just add on to that. Last year, we did a health equity study where we looked at over 2,000 patients, 1,000 from the general population, 300 each that we consider medically disenfranchised from four communities: Black, Latinx, LGBTQ, and low socioeconomic status, meaning they made less than $35,000 a year. And to Dr. Baskin's point, many of these patients feel like they are not treated fairly or equally by the healthcare system. These medically disenfranchised patients believe the system is not only flawed, but actually rigged against them. And so they have told us that they don't get asked to participate in clinical research, that they don't trust clinical trials. and that they don't feel like they are being heard or understood. And so we have an opportunity to build trust with people, because there's a lot of what I call fake news. Fake news says that people of color ain't gonna participate in clinical research. Well, if you explain it and you ask them, then they will participate. And we've seen centers like O'Neill have a significant proportion of communities of color, because they have built trust with the community. They are explaining what is clinical research. And so I think that we have to really meet patients where they are and stop with a lot of these assumptions.
Thank you both for those insights. That was really great. Quita, how can community practices become more aware of creating a diverse environment?
You know, I think people have to look around and really say, you know what, it's my frontline staff that's going to be engaging with the community. Are they diverse? Have we given them some cultural competency training? Do they understand the lived experience of patients? I mean, when we're talking about cancer, people are often at their lowest point. And so we have to create an environment by talking to patients and building an understanding of their situation. So many times we blame patients of color. It's like, well, if only they ate better, if only they did this, that, and the third. But let's really talk about patients of color often don't have the best healthcare insurance because they don't have the best job to get it. So their co-insurance might be high. Historically marginalized people might not have access to medical benefits. They may not have a pharmacy in their community. They may not have a hospital in their community. They may not have a doctor's office in their community. They may not have access to fresh foods and vegetables because there's no Whole Foods in the hood, right? They might be living in redline neighborhoods without easy access to medical care or transportation challenges. So I think we have to really be careful about laying blame and really be thinking about what are the solutions that we could come to the table with so that we can create a more diverse environment.
Going off of talking about the distrust in the healthcare system, how do you think the Advancing Inclusive Research Site Alliance can be used to create an open environment in terms of getting these patient populations into practices to be treated?
For us at Genentech, I think the Site Alliance is going to be a place of trust because it already is, right? They've already been able to demonstrate an opportunity to network with communities of color. When we look at these institutions, all of them have leadership in the institution that is Hispanic or African American. And the one thing that counts is when a patient sees a Dr. Baskin, her presence creates possibilities. Her presence says they are taking this very seriously because in their leadership, they have people who look like them, who can address concerns, who understand the lived experiences of someone like them. And I think that is part of building trust, is having people who are part of the system that can be able to engage with people who understand why there might be some distrust. And these folks are dedicated to advancing inclusive research. So I'm super excited about this partnership because I think we're going to really be able to tackle the barriers and define the next era of inclusive research.
Thank you. So finally, Dr. Baskin, what is one thing you hope to gain from this new partnership?
Wow. So I think, you know, one of the things is to find more sisters in arm like Quita and others to fight the battle. I think ultimately we have the same shared vision. which is that we're going to eliminate the disparities that exist so that everyone has an opportunity to enroll on a trial and to get the highest, best quality care for their cancer as possible. So I think there is strength in numbers. It's also strength in learning from others, what works, what doesn't work, so that we can achieve that goal.
Great, thank you. Those are all of my questions. Is there anything else either of you want to add?
You know, I want to say that there's no magic bullet, right? This is going to be a multifaceted, complex issue. And it is going to take hard work, commitment, like Dr. Baskin said. It is going to take all of us to come to the table to really look for solutions. And I think we have to be transparent. We have to be intentional, and we must be bold in our efforts to make change.
Yeah, and I would add to that, I think it's really important for us to, again, as Quita mentioned before, we've got to stop blaming the cancer patient for not enrolling on the trials. And we have to take a deeper look at what are some of the things that are making it more challenging for individuals from diverse backgrounds to come here. So we have to look at the multi-level issues from the members of the clinical research team to the infrastructure issues that make it more challenging and the policies. And we have to also just take a deep dive and have some self-awareness. I think with the issues around trust and distrust, we have to also become trustworthy so that individuals will want to come here. And I think having diverse representation is critical. And so while we have some successes here at my institution, you know, we've got some room to grow and improve as well. So I think it's important to continuously look at the things that we can do at the structural level to make it easier for people to enroll in trials and hopefully to extend their lives and higher quality of life.
Great. Thank you so much.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can just listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information and to stay up to date with the latest news and notes in the world of oncology, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time.